Send down your revival, O Lord, and start with me. Send down your revival, O Lord, and start with me. This is our cry. This is our call to God Almighty this year as a church and as individuals that make up the church. And I title today's message, Walking in the Light of the Revival. Walking in the Light of the Revival. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. New International Version says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Before Jesus Christ left, he left his disciples with a charge. He made them a promise of a comforter, someone that would come and continue the work that he had started with them. And so he told them that you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come on you. And from that instant, you will begin to witness from place to place, from Judea to Samaria to the uttermost part of the heart. He promised them the Spirit, the divine Holy Spirit. And they took the charge and waited, and eventually they received the infilling of the Spirit of God. Let us turn our Bibles again to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I read verse 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. In New King James Version, it says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will show it to you. He will make it known to you. Still again, on the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn again our Bible to Joel chapter 2. So that we can put these pieces together. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And he says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Again, I will pour out my Spirit. from the bits of the scriptures that we've been reading, there is something that has stood out unique. That is the Spirit of God. First, it was a promise. Then again, we began to see the reality of what the Spirit will be able to do. You shall be able to what? To witness. And witness across different places. Which means there will be no barriers. We've been talking about revival. From the beginning of this year, we started learning about revival. But the place of revival starts from somewhere. That is the divine Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit upon the life of individuals. That is where the place of revival starts. Revival itself came from the Hebrew word chaya, which means to bring back to life or to bring something to consciousness. To bring back to life or to bring something to consciousness. That is where the word revival was extracted in Hebrew, chaya. And so, I said, revival is a season or a period or a time of spiritual reawakening. Revival is a season or a period or a time of spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy. From a state of dormancy in the life of a person or a territory. A community, an environment, which is brought about by an outpouring of the Spirit of God. A revival is a season, a period, a time of spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy in the life of a person or a territory or a community, which is brought about by the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, it didn't stop there. And I went forward to say, with a corresponding effect, either locally or within a community or even globally. So when the revival comes on a person, the impact doesn't just stop or end with that person. There is an effect. That cause has an effect. There is an effect on the local community or a sphere of influence or a locality. Or even globally. Sometimes the trajectory of revival jumps the calculations of even those who started it. And it goes and drives itself to become a global effect. So if you look at that definition, reawakening from a state of dormancy. So let me start from dormancy. For some of us, we're going to use the financial industry to interpret this. Because when you talk of revival, for revival to happen, there is always something that has gone wrong somewhere. First is that there became a time when something that had activity suddenly fell into inactivity. And so, you have an account in a bank, and for, I'm not sure if it has changed, but it used to be a period of 6 months where there has been no activity on that account, the bank will place that account on a dormant status. Now, the bank has not said that that account is no longer existing, but they are saying because of the inactivity, certain privileges and rights on this account is being put on hold. And it also enables them to focus on those accounts with a view, possibly, of course, getting them reactivated and getting business and transactions to continue to happen. But if they do not place that account with that status, several accounts, thousands of accounts will have gone into dormancy, and they will still be carrying the cost of maintaining those accounts on their systems. Those things don't come cheap. That's why you're paying quite some charges. Spiritual dormancy. It starts from many places, many things. You just find out that something has gone wrong with you. Revival is not for somebody that is a sinner. Mm-mm. Revival is for somebody that has professed Jesus Christ, started a walk with him, and stops the walk, or pens the walk, or suspends the walk. So if somebody is there seated, is a sinner, your need is not revival. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. You're carrying a load of sin that is heavier for you. And that is why, as you go from place to place seeking for help, you won't find that help. Because they are not sufficient. Those people are not sufficient to what? To take that yoke off you. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. If you knock the door, I am going to open. When you seek me, you will find me. So if you are seated here, you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, yes, you may have heard different messages. I'm not doubting that. Many people may have spoken to you, but you have never taken that decision to what? Accept the fact that you are a sinner, confess your sin, and make a deliberate effort to stop sinning. You are not qualified at all. So we need to first of all start from that stage where you acknowledge yourself as a sinner. You believe and know that you're unable to save yourself. For God had loved the world and he has sent his son, so loved and beloved, begotten because of you, because of me. And you have not acknowledged that fact that his son was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for your sins. This morning, I'd just like you to bow your hearts wherever you're seated. You know you have never ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Something tells you in your heart this morning that you are carrying a load, a weight of sin that is heavier than what you can manage, and you needed help. And so help is here this morning. Just bow your heart and speak to God. Begin to speak to him. There are many things that you are doing wrong. You know it. We do not need to go over it. But you know that there are things you are doing wrong. There are things that are not in line, in place in your life. The works of the flesh have been eminent in you. From the lust of the eyes, to the lust of the flesh, to the pride of life. You have never come to the saving grace of Jesus. Just bow your heart this morning and speak a word to him. Tell him how feeble, how helpless you are, and how much of him you need this morning to come and take over your life, to take over your life and take you away from the shackles of sin. And so I agree with you this morning by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that you are made free from your sins. Wherever you are listening to me this morning, you are made free from your sins. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary has availed for you. You are no longer a slave to sin and flesh. But upon the name of Jesus, the name that has been given above every other name, he has come to receive you. He has come to save you. Thank you, Lord, for saving these souls. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Revival. State of spiritual dormancy. And so, when money comes into such an account, the bank does it that they can always receive. They don't allow you to go. And so when money comes into that account, it is such that that fund can never leave that account until another action has been performed. And that is reactivation of the account. And so the process of the reactivation of the account involves you doing some additional things, bring some additional documentation. We just want to be sure that you are still the same person that is running this account, and you are now ready to continue to sustain this business. And so you bring a lot of things. Such is revival. From that state of spiritual dormancy, we need to charge yourself up, gear yourself up, prepare yourself, and thirst for the revival and the work of revival to begin to happen in your life. If you do not bring those documents, irrespective of how much you have in that account, you will not be able to make a withdrawal. If you have not allowed the Spirit of God to take you back from your state of dormancy and propel you to the move of God and what plan and purpose God has for your life, you will not leave that spot. You will not leave that state. You can be a bishop. You can be a pastor. You can be an usher. But you will not leave that state of dormancy until you have realigned yourself and repositioned yourself with the Master. I said the work of revival transcends from a person. And as different persons catch the revival, corporately, they can initiate a change such that the community will feel the effect of the revival. How will it feel that everybody here has received the unction of revival, they are charged with the Holy Spirit, and as they begin to make impact, even somebody that is walking on the road, walking past this place, feels something and says, there is something that is pushing me to enter into this place. That is when revival has happened. There is a feeling, there is an effect that must be felt by somebody. Go and read about some of these great generals in their days and times. When some of them were such that even some of the pages of newspaper where their faces appear, people will almost touch it and will receive healing. Because of the impact of the work of the Holy Spirit upon them. We are coming from the understanding of a state of dormancy. And we said it is a reawakening. So first, there is a state of dormancy. A place where you have lost touch with the realities of God's expectation for your life as a Christian. And then, you need to first realize, this is where I'm coming from. I have been down. How many times has the enemy used different things to becloud us? Such that we're unable to move into the full expectation of God for our lives. One of the realities of this moment is the enemy continues to make the essence of the church to be bastardized. Now you see people in the world trivialize things that are spiritual. They look at the church and they feel the church has failed even government. They feel that the church doesn't experience, the church doesn't have power anymore. The name of the church has been bastardized, used with a lot of deprivation. Several pastors having one issue or the other, one atrocity or the other, one scandal or the other, and then it makes the value of the church to be trivialized. The newspapers do not even want to report anything on the church. They would rather report the economy. They would rather report the story of somebody that did something. The essence and the power of the church has been trivialized in the work of the enemy. And it is a simple rule he uses. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I will get back to that. So you can understand the placement of the church in this generation. In the past, I'm sure the church was cardinal to a lot of things. Even to the building up of several constitutions, the place of the church and government was almost at par. But as you begin to read, and say, oh, this popular man of God had done this scandal, then you trivialize. you will begin to read comments. They say, which man of God? Remember, he was a man first before God called him. So what do you do? That is a time for you as a saint, as a Christian who is spiritually alert, to pray for him. I don't know what he will have done. I don't care. But my role is to declare that the work of the ministry must continue to proceed. And as these different men of God at this end of time come, even those that are supposed to be saved begin to look at them and say, hey, what is happening here? I was watching a couple of days, and I saw there's this witch doctor in Ghana who was talking about a popular man of God in Africa and how he had helped him to bring fire into the congregation. And he said, look, this thing is very easy now. It is as simple as ABC. And he demonstrated it. And you could see in the video, you could see the fire. And he says, what are you people talking about? If you are a pastor and you need help, come to me. I will help you to bring fire, so your congregation can experience that fire. That isn't the fire that the apostles walked on. It wasn't. They were waiting. But you will receive power. He left them a promise. And he made that promise come to pass. They were waiting. And they received the power. And the power made impact. As we begin to read from Acts chapter 2, we will see the impact of the work of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. They didn't need a witch doctor to help them. It is only a dormant spiritual person that needs the help of the occult or any other power or forces to help him tear up the presence of God. Bible says, where two or three of you are gathered, there I am, I am there. If you are there with the right spirit, and you are gathered with the brethren, the presence of God is with you. So you don't need to run to a mountain. You don't need to go and look for that special holy place where they will equip you. And imagine a witch doctor being proud to say, I am here. If you need help, come to me. I will make this fire come. It will come into your congregation and they will be shouting, wow. Hey. The Lord will bring his revival and we will feel it. And each and every one of us will be restored to God's presence in Jesus' name. Back again to John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So as you are seated, the goal of the enemy is that your spiritual life does not grow from where it is. Some children used to say, the devil is a bad devil. He doesn't have any good plan. But God was saying to you, he says, my thoughts for you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and an end. The thoughts of God is for good, but the thought of the enemy is to steal from you. How does the enemy steal? Sometimes he brings distraction. Distraction. You're already headed on the right path. He creates an alternative path. Then you look. I am still walking. This guy that we started this walk together is already driving a car. Why am I still walking? Even if it is a bicycle, God, now let me have a bicycle. Somebody is moving at a speed faster than mine. Distraction. He begins to use the elements of the world to show you what you think you are missing. So that you can think that there is no more hope in following him. And so a lot of people have been distracted by the works of the enemy flashing at them. Just imagine yourself at roundabout here in Ibadan, and your side glasses are wound down.
you will see. You just see somebody by you and says, how are you, sir? As you are talking to him, he's distracting you so that his partner at the other end begins to walk inside your car. And so by the time you are through and you turn around, you discover that your phone has gone. Distraction to steal from you. And that's the way the enemy works. Creates a diversion for you. The diversion can even be social media. Just discover that you are enjoying Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp and Instagram so much that you don't even understand that there's anything called the Bible anymore. It's a raging challenge. It's a raging challenge. You discover that you can spend hours on social media, but you are finding it difficult to spend 10 minutes to continue to study the word. So as much as you are becoming vast in what is happening, you are becoming loose in the content that should build your spirit man. Revival has to do with the Spirit of God. And so you have no option than to continue to feed that spirit. If you want the spirit to continue to grow in you, you need to continue to feed the spirit. Takes away your prayer life. You can no longer pray. You can't even pray for 10 minutes. It happens to us. That is why we need revival. That is why this message is coming. That is why we've spent the last 3 Sundays talking about it. We started from who is a Christian, trying to understand what are the basic things that make you qualify as a Christian. The people that called the disciples Christian first in Antioch, they didn't know them from anywhere. But they saw something in them that reminded them about Christ. Say, these are Christ followers. They are Christians. It was unbelievers. And from there, we moved to understand about how to thirst. What do you thirst for? In experiencing the revival, there must be the hunger in you. Something must tell you. You cannot sit in your house and expect that you will just make a phone call and say, please reactivate that account. I want to move 1 million naira out of it. Yes, maybe some HNIs can do that, high net worth individuals, but then they must still drop those documentations. Because those things are policy issues. So you must drop the documentation. In dropping that documentation, that is your state of preparedness for the change that you deserve. If you are not ready to make that commitment, if you are ready to allow the enemy to distract you, you will not leave the state of spiritual dormancy. And that means you cannot transit value. It says, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Let him have dominion. How can you be in the image of God and be dormant? God is not dormant. Every day, we see his work all over the world, in our lives, in our hearts. We can feel him. Why will you not allow the things that make meaning to him to be felt upon your life? For you shall receive power. And after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the heart. Has that word make any meaning to you before? Have you become a witness? Have you even received the Spirit? The Spirit only comes to hearts that are clean. Yes, you could have been born again, but you may have some struggles. You may be struggling with some secret sins. And you're like, am I ever going to get out of this? God, I need you. I've tried to stop drinking. Alcohol will just flash me again in the face. And I'll keep 1 or 2 bottles in the fridge. And I'll be looking at it and I'll be saying, no, I'm not going to take. Then one day, I will go and open it. And nobody knows. Or you have been caught up in fornication. You have been caught up in adultery. You have been caught up in addictions. Different things. Pornography, masturbation, different things the enemy has used to steal the essence of the work upon us. And somebody is there saying, Lord, you know in my heart, I want to do more for you, but I'm struggling. These things keep coming over. I have prayed about it. I have fasted about it, but it keeps coming. Why not bow your head this morning? Begin to speak to God. God is telling you that there is hope and there is a place to receive you back. Anyone struggling with anything this morning, just bow your heart this morning and speak to God. Declare, ask Him for help again. I need you more than before. I have struggled with this sin. I know, yes, I've given my life to you. I have dedicated my life to you. But there are some struggles within me. Bible says, catch us those little foxes. The little foxes that destroy the vine. Just speak to Him and ask for help. The Holy Spirit only comes to a heart that is clean. The Holy Spirit comes to a heart that is clean. As you are asking, I'm asking. I'm saying, Lord, check me. Look through me. I want to reflect your image everywhere I go. You created me in your image. If the reflection of sin is what the world is seeing, something is wrong with me on the inside. Why not come again, Lord, to my inside and change me and mold me and make me new. Create in me a new heart and renew your right spirit within me. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek help and you will find. Knock the door and it shall be opened to you. I stand on the authority of the Lord this morning to agree with everyone that has some struggles inside. It is not your wish, but you keep finding yourself rolling down there. Don't worry. God is saying, I will pick you out of the miry clay and I will mold you and form you and make you become what I want you to be. Just yield yourself. Yield yourself. As you make a commitment to yield yourself for His will and His purpose, it will make you what He wants you to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts that you have changed, for the hearts you have touched. In Jesus' mighty name. And those secret things, they make a mockery of your testimony. And instead of riding on the wave of God's glory, you are struggling to fight for your name and your integrity. So what the enemy tells you is, what are you talking about? Who are you? Remember you did this. Hey. And then you are like, all right, I agree. This is who I am. No. No. I know who I am. As long as Jesus Christ is seated on the throne, as long as the prodigal son, after wasting all the resources, can come back home and his father danced and received him. I'm not going to give up. Because the plan of the enemy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the plan of God for you is to have life and have it abundantly. And then from thirsting for revival, we moved on last Sunday to understand that it's time to open up. Open up. Don't shield yourself anymore. Allow God to come in. Allow God to work on you. Allow Him to perfect the work. Who else can do the work if not God? Who created you? Who has the masterpiece? Who has the master plan? If you can help yourself, then you shouldn't be in a struggle. As much as we know that we need Him more than ever, He comes in and He fills us. If you fill yourself up with pride, that no, we have arrived. We can't go down. The enemy will just slide you down. And you come crashing. That is another way the enemy takes from us. By carelessness, we believe we are already made. We believe we are full. We believe that God has used us tremendously. And then we throw caution to the wind. And the guy is there. He knows John chapter 10, verse 10 says, as the thief is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he's waiting. Maybe you are careless. And with our carelessness and indiscipline as Christians, we allow the enemy to walk in and take value out of us. And we are thrown back to a state of spiritual dormancy. And again, you need a reawakening. For reawakening is here. Revival is here. In the name of Jesus. Before we pray, one of the key elements of revival is consecration. You must have experienced salvation and you must be living rightly. First, to stand right with God in righteousness and to live right as you grow in righteousness. If the work of God through Jesus Christ on the cross has not made any impact in your life, then you shouldn't be a Christian. Why waste your time? Consecration. And you move from consecration, you move to preparation. When you begin to thirst and hunger and say, I have not seen enough. The song says, we need more. We need more. Yes, the apostles were with Jesus. It didn't come cheap. Those guys, we should see them in heaven and clap for them. In those days, there were no cars. There was no AC. These guys were walking on their foot, following Jesus everywhere he went. But here we are, even with the pleasures of life that we have, we still struggle and find it difficult. It is real. Preparation. It didn't come easy for the apostles. They went through many things. Many people will have spoken against them. Their family members may have called them and said, which way is this that you are going? This man you are following, will he not lead you to destruction? Until he led them and gave up his life for every one of us to become sons and daughters in the kingdom. And he left them with a promise of the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit came and changed the dynamics of the works of the gospel. Hey, you need to ignite your prayer life. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. Continue to pray, continue to pray, continue to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. As you pray, you need the discipline. That discipline that makes you look at food and say, wait a moment. I want to be in the presence of the Master. I want to experience him in fullness and in detail. Food, hold on. Check your lifestyle. Check your character. The conversations you have. Are those conversations helping you or breaking you? Are those places you visit helping you grow your life spiritually or breaking you? Those are some of the avenues that the enemy use to deplete from us till you go into dormancy. So they say, let us pray. Then it's time to sleep the more. But when they tell you that, have you seen the breaking news? The fastest hand to your phone to swipe and look for the breaking news. God is speaking to us this morning. It's time to activate the revival code in your life. The revival is here. It has come. The work of the Spirit will be felt, but it is left for you. Are you ready to open up? Are you ready to open the channels of your spirit to receive more so that you can do more? You must be ignited. Recognize that, look, it is time. This is the age. This is the period. This is the moment. If it had never happened before, this is the time. Luke chapter 4. Please, media, Luke chapter 4. Let's start from verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit had led him. Verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Look at that statement again. The power of the Spirit working in Jesus. Hallelujah. And verse 18. Verse 18, he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Verse 19, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And so this is where we are. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You are a vessel. You are a clay in the hand of the potter. He had molded you. Have you opened up yourself enough to allow him to make you a fine masterpiece? That which you are supposed to become. Can you please stand on your feet this morning? You need to minister the gospel. The business of Jesus is winning souls and witnessing. You need to take up that business. When you take up that business, it will fund your own business. Oh, you are supposed to become an ambassador for healing. You are supposed to be one that begins to declare the breaking of yokes and bondages. You are supposed to bring the news of good tidings to those who are brokenhearted. But here you are. You have been spiritually dormant. There is a call this morning. You need to charge yourself up. Plug yourself back to the source. And that is why, like I said, anyone that is in sin does not even need revival. He only needs to come to the saving grace of God. Hey, so from this moment, for your heart that is clean, you need to welcome the Holy Spirit. You need to welcome the Holy Spirit, because these works are not done by your hands, but by the Spirit of God. Sister Nimi, please join me here. You need a work of the Spirit. You need a work of the Spirit. You need it more than before. You need it more than ever.
Oh God, we do not want a strange fire, God. We need you, Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of truth, God of our flesh, Father of our spirit. We ask for more, more. Lord, send your fire, send your spirit. Revive us again.
Revive us again.
Give us new life. Send your fire, send your spirit. Revive. it, Jesus.
To take over.
This is the moment.
Begin to see more of him.
This is the moment.
Begin to walk in the reality of a new assignment.
This is the moment.
As the Holy Spirit begins his work,
this is the moment.
Your assignment starts.
This is the moment.
This is the move.
This is the
yes.
Moment.
Yes. Mountains are still being made plain.
This is the Lord.
The dead are still being raised. The church of God will continue to march forward. The gates of hell will not prevail.
Happens when you move. Heaven is coming.
Heaven is coming.
In this room.
In this place.
Revival happens.
Revival is
when
here.
You move.
Yes.
Your spirit is here.
Yes.
You can move.
Have a medical report. You have a medical report. You have a medical report that is making you afraid. You have a medical report that is making you afraid. When you read it, it looked as if your life was going to walk away immediately. I have a message for you this morning. God said he has stepped in. He said he has stepped in and he has changed the dynamics. In 30 days, go back for that test. In 30 days, go back for that test. But unto the 30 days, trust him, believe him, and know that he has changed the report to favor you. Masika higalibo sunta hirarabo. In 30 days, go back for that test. For the Lord has changed it. Hey. God is speaking to someone this morning. He says, I'm breaking the yoke of poverty. I am breaking the yoke of poverty on you. I'm breaking the yoke of poverty on you. God is speaking. You have been reduced to nothing. But God is saying, I am bringing life out of you. Yes, the bones are dried. They are dead. But he's bringing them together. Hey, bone to bone. Sinews and flesh is coming. And he will breathe life against poverty upon the life of someone this morning. Hallelujah. 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 You are holding a key. You are holding a key. You are not holding a key to a rented apartment. You are holding a key. The key to your own place. Your own house. The house that has been provided for you by God. Somebody is here this morning. The person is holding a key. The person is holding a key. You couldn't ever have believed in your life that this will happen to you. But God said he is handing over a key to you. It will defy your economics. It will defy your financial status. It is the work of God. We need you more. We are here for you. Do more, oh Lord. Do more, oh Lord. Do more. Do more, Lord. We need more. Hey. There is someone here. God said he has prepared you as a minister. There is a person of influence that it has been laid in your heart to minister to that person, but you have been struggling with fear. You will say, how will I say it? How will I tell this person about Jesus? God said, I should tell you this morning, go and open your mouth and declare. There is a person of influence. Someone that immediately you minister to and he becomes born again, a lot more people will begin to receive the impact and the effect. And God said he's charging you this morning, go and do it. Don't be afraid anymore. Like the Holy Spirit enabled the apostles and they began to minister and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people began to bring their life to Jesus. So he's using you. Hallelujah.